Well, the Tuesday show with Rob Herzhoff is anything if not controversial. And this past week, he was talking about let's get rid of many public servants. He was supported in a way by R.W. Johnson, who felt that there were quite a bit of surgery that needs to be done on state expenditure. But we're going to hear from the other side of the coin, Professor Erwin Schweller, who's emeritus professor from the University of Stellenbosch and a legend when it comes to public administration. Professor Schweller, lovely to have you here to perhaps give another perspective to that which the BizNews tribe has been subjected to in the past couple of days. How long have you been teaching people to be good public servants?
Well, first of all, thanks for the invitation and the kind words. I will try my best to live up to the expectations. I started teaching governance and public administration as a junior lecturer at Stellenbosch University on the 1st of January 1981. Now, that is quite a long time. I spent a lot of time at Stellenbosch. At the time, it was still the academic boycott, and we couldn't internationalize. When, however, I did become the director of the School of Public Leadership, as it is now called at Stellenbosch, I very deliberately internationalized the school. And I also held positions subsequently at places such as the Tilburg Law School in the Netherlands. I spent quite substantive amounts of time at Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. And I tried to be to have a balanced approach. There is a lot to say for just in principle, you know, bureaucracy defends the status quo long past the status has lost its quo. And there's a lot of bureaucrat bashing going on, and in many instances, correctly so. However, the point is that that in a dialectic sense is a thesis. On the other hand, there's an antithesis, and I think a synthesis, as with all of these things, is in the balance. We can, in actual fact, not have good governance if we don't have effective, professional, ethical public administration. And that is also linked into a societal and political system. Now, South Africa is not a paragon of virtue in this regard. However, there are reasons for that, which is linked not only to public administration or the, let's say, the implementation of public policies by public servants. It's also driven by ideologies and politics. So we need to get that balanced opinion, and bureaucrat bashing is a favorite pastime and currently very popular in the world. However, on the other hand, there are many public servants who still take public service very seriously, and I know many of them, even in the South African context, which is also difficult for them.
I'd like to unpack with you a little bit about DOGE in the United States later on, but let's start here in South Africa. One of the big criticisms is we now are going to have a 2 percentage point VAT increase, or so the ANC wants, just to be able to fulfill its obligations to public servants. And that is perhaps been the last step too far for many people, including Rob Herzhoff and R.W. Johnson. When you look at it, clearly there are, I like the argument that Ian Cameron puts forward when he talks about the police. He says 90% of the people who work in the police are good. They're there for the good reason, but there's a 10% that are cater deployed or useless in his view, and they're in very senior positions. How do you view that argument when we take it on? Are we overstaffed on the one hand? Can we afford the level? Can taxpayers afford to pay the level of costs that this bureaucracy is costing South Africa? And then what percentage, in your view, of public servants really are doing a great job?
Well, let's start by saying that I think our public service is much too large. that also links to what the government agenda is. That is to have a very state-centric economy. And in actual fact, use approaches such as redistributing resources, but not co-creating resources. The fundamental philosophical question, by the way, Alec, is we have to find ways to co-create public value or prosperity, or if you're Adam Smith, something like wealth, and then to share it. And that must be done effectively and ethically. So co-create and share effectively and ethically. And just to link it to the ideological prepositions, socialism is excellent at sharing, sometimes ineffectively and unethically, value or public value or prosperity. They have a theory for that, an ideology, and even institutions. Capitalism, very good at co-creating or creating, but not well-positioned to understand empathetic sharing. So it needs to be a balanced combination. And if one can find those, shall we say, policies and implementation aspects in your system linked to your context, South Africa is a unique country. Now, having said all of that, our public service is bloated. It is the result of a long-standing approach which says that we will buy into the public service political support, and once they are there, we will, in actual fact, every time in a pre-election or a post-election hour where we've lost support, we will try to buy them off for political reasons. That's not succeeding anymore. I know of a lot of resistance in the public service. Not, of course, if you get a salary increase at a particular level, everybody will probably be happy about that. But the whole macroeconomic policy as it relates to public service is also criticized by public servants whom I educated over the years, and they are of all South African backgrounds, and they strive to be professional. So our public service is bloated for political reasons, not for professional public service reasons. And then secondly, the point is there might be 90% of them doing very well professionally. I think that's perhaps a higher margin than I would give to that. Might be 60 or 70% because cadre deployment has been disruptive. Let's also say that. And what we've had is a total inflation of senior positions. I mean, we now have, I am told, close to 400 police generals. And we've got similar trends in our national defense force, which, by the way, and I agree to some extent with Rob's point, it is a magnificent navy on land, an air force grounded, and an infantry somewhere else. So, but those are political decisions, and they are often also by solid. There is a solid group of public servants looking at professional public service. They're also criticized by them. However, based upon the strong ideological approach of the governing party until the government of national unity, and they had a very deliberate approach to buy off the public servants. And they did that not only by incentivization, by paying them, but you get penalized if you're not loyal. So here's another point, a very practical point. I was part of many appointments processes, not as a consultant, but sometimes on committees. Those have all dissipated. I trained the first cadre of police commissioners after democracy, the Fivers Group. By the way, the last commissioner of police who actually stayed his full term. Well, hopefully the current one will also stay a full term. But in the meantime, we had this disaster of Celebi up to, you know, the last one leaving. Point is, there's often an approach where even professional, well-qualified public servants get left behind because they are not loyal enough. So loyalty has become the the qualification, the paramount qualification for promotion in the public service. And under those circumstances, one can forget about any idea of professionalizing the public service, which has been on the agenda for quite some time. So I'm not in any way disagreeing that we have serious work to do with the public service. But I think it is too much of an overgeneralization to then say that then automatically sort of morphs into public service per se is bad. These are institutions. And the last Nobel Prize for economics was awarded to Asa Mowgli and the other colleague. By the way, the books are at the back of my shelf here. The two authors, I'll think of the other name now, Asa Mowgli, and point is, let's just get, what do they say? They say that nations fail when institutions fail. And there's no ways we're going to restructure a fairly an aged but also mature system of governance working with the separation of powers, an executive, then public service. That's not going to change. Our constitution is not going to change in that regard. And it's also the model which is regarded as maybe not the best one, but all of the others are worse. So if that's not going to change, then you can deal with the dynamics in that. So you must strengthen the institutions on the basis of working within those institutions. And the National Democratic Revolution is the worst way to go about that. The ideology of the... Just go back to our constitution. Section 195 of our constitution, very clear, gives a formula for transformation, which is not what does the picture look like, are there enough faces of the right color around? That's the typical transformation definition in the ANC. And then they are untransformed because their NECs do not show the picture of representativity it should. So we can argue they are untransformed. However, it should be Section 195 of our Constitution deliberately and consciously negotiated, and I was part of those negotiations, that it should be effective, ethical, which, by the way, is exactly the point made by King IV for good corporate governance. It should be professional. It should be, in our case, development orientated. And then it should actually also be accountable and responsible to the public. And then in the final analysis, be representative. Now, you can then contrive all of these things in a particular way if you drive it through an ideology where you try to buy off people, and that is a political strategy. Do not necessarily apply that to public service. Public service is a noble ideal. I know many public servants globally and in South Africa who still strive to be excellent public service. The previous statistician general, the current and previous auditors general. These are people who are people of integrity under very difficult circumstances.
So I think it's quite clear the way that you've outlined this, that we have the public sector has been abused for political ends. Now that we have a government of national unity, are we likely to see that change, given that there is an opposition that could presumably step in and prevent this continued abuse?
Yes, good public service, like good law, should be seen to be done. So we have an opportunity now, and in actual fact, it shows how where there's improved ministerial performance, we see better public service. So it just illustrates and confirms with evidence the link between the political, linked to the executive, then linked to the public administration. There are, however, some concerns. Obviously, a part of the strategy of the government of national unity coming from the side of the president is also, it would be very naive to think there's not some approach at co-optation. Now, I've got a lot of respect for Dr. Leon Schreiber. I worked with him when we addressed the Parliamentary Select Committee on Public Service on CADA deployment. And remember, before the elections, the DA was very adamant to take CADA deployment to court. That has subsided somewhat. So in some ways, in principle, the GNU will make a difference and is making a difference. However, there's always some form of, shall we say, softening of your approach if you are an insider, and for good reasons. There's a dynamic. We have to cooperate. We need to give each other space, some credibility. Otherwise, this GNU in its dynamic cannot work. On the other hand, it can easily lead to a kind of a complacency, and then you actually start to become part of the problem, not part of the solution. And it's a very subtle, it's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So there are compromises that have to be made, but there are certain things that cannot be compromised upon. And the principle is one needs a professional, well-functioning public service. And in any case, whether you have it or not, or whether you need it or not, you're going to have a public service. The question is, or the discerning point is, it will either be good or bad. So if you have to have it in any case, and Rob and I and many other people can have this notion that just get rid of these people, it's not going to happen. So if that's not going to happen, then work with what you've got. Understand that there are institutional traditions which are quite noble, and there are still people who want to serve. And we shouldn't, therefore, in some ways, destroy the whole system. We should take the best of the traditional approach to professional public service, as is exactly legislated for you in our constitution, and build around that, and work with, you know, solid evidence-based policies. I know we are all emotional, and we should be, because we've had 30 years of disastrous governance. However, what do we do with that? We don't have, our voters don't vote them out. So we'll have them, but now it's starting to break up, and we have an opportunity to make a kind of a synthetic approach in terms of taking the bad, combining it with the good, and then progressively improving public service. Because in essence, you're not going to have a government or a state and society or a political system if there's not a public service. So once you have it, make it good. Make the public service great
again. Make the public service great again. Which is a lovely segue into Donald Trump and what's going on in the United States. Is that also throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Yeah, it is. Once again, as I said, I was fortunate to work for at least 3 or 4 years consecutively, not continuously, at Kennedy School of Government. And I've met international public servants, in-country public servants, who are really dedicated public servants. They say the biggest divide that you ever come across is not a divide between Chinese Wall divide. The biggest divide is the Charles River Bridge between the Harvard School of Business, Harvard Business School, and the Kennedy School of Government on the other side of the Charles River. Now, what that says is that there are different, shall we say, traditions and approaches which are intrinsically valuable within its system. We need business to be businesslike and to function properly and effectively and efficiently, and create wealth or prosperity as businesses. And we need public service to do what they do well and intrinsically with some form of compassion and to be a solid professional public service. So Mr. Trump and his loyal dog follower, or his leader dog follower, depends upon whether it's a guide dog or a comfort dog. They completely over the top, and I would be very surprised. I'm very careful about predictions, especially about the future. But I would be very surprised if this doesn't come unstuck in numerous ways. Just randomly, I mean, America is known, the United States of America is known that, you know, you are fired, but there will be consequences. There will be political consequences. And whether this is sustainable, I don't know. I think it's much too random. I think it's much too unanalytical. And there is, of course, you need sometimes to do what I call forms of disruptive governance innovation. This, however, might be that the antithesis is just, you know, totally over the top, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And whether it sustains, I predict probably not.
Professor Erwin Schweller is Emeritus Professor at the University of Stellenbosch, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.